Crazy Porks who host this show. They give relationship advice that you ought to know. Your thirst for entertainment, they will quench. Cause Stephanie's a darling and Mike is a mensch. Pork therapy, advice this good is a rarity. It's cool, fun, and introspective. Relationship talk from a liberty perspective. Oh, and did I mention you can leave a message, you can voice a question, a joke, a comment, or something more at 419-PT-LOVE-4. Pork therapy, scatty-dee-bop, shabba-dooey, you'll revel in hilarity. It's pork therapy.
Hello.
Hello, everybody.
And welcome to Pork Therapy.
This is Mike.
And this is Stephanie.
And we're here to talk at you.
No, we're here to get each other sick, right, Mike? I'm declaring biological warfare on you.
Well, if you're declaring it, that's different than if you're not.
You're going to raise your white flag.
That's right. No, you are.
Your white
no,
tissue.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a desperate attempt to segue into our topic
right,
for tonight.
Right, and it was super quick.
It was super quick, but it was a little too early because we haven't plugged our website. We haven't done any of the normal things that we usually do.
Our website?
Do.
Well, what's the URL for
chatted,
that?
We haven't done... Oh, okay, well, our website URL is porctherapy.com, and that's Pork Therapy, the name of our show.
Why would anyone want to go to our website? What
that's
could they possibly
question.
Do there?
Well, they might want to listen to all of our old episodes or email us or call us. Or send us a donation.
Or join our female list.
That's a good one, yes. Or see our cool new logo.
That's right.
Or share us with their friends on the social networks.
Or comment on some shows.
There's just so many things you could do
you
on our website,
the
porktherapy.com.
Sure. You could spend a whole afternoon there with the family.
You could. Wait, with the family? I don't know about that. Although, you know, our show has been significantly more family/radio-friendly.
Radio-friendly.
Over the past couple of, you know...
I don't think I've ever been unfriendly to families, just
no.
I used to swear.
Exactly. You weren't the only one, Mike. Yeah, but I mean, you'll notice our first, like, 30, 40 episodes are like that. But
a little bit different.
Significantly different, but anyway, I like our show, how it's changed and evolved and grown over the past, months, and I love to do the show with you, so thanks again, Mike, for being my special co-host. And you truly are special. I haven't said the S word in so long. Mike used to razz on me because I said everybody was special, but I haven't said it in so
That's
long.
It's been
increasing its potency, like episode by episode, when I haven't said it.
That's right.
And now it's gotten to the top. It's about to
That's
pop.
That's right. The top and pop.
Yeah, something like that.
And now you can't be special again for like a month or I won't be.
You seem like you're giving me an ultimatum, Mike. Okay, I'll make a special effort not to say it.
Oh, boo.
Right, you can email us questions at porktherapy.com or call us at 419-PT-LOVE-4 if you want to ask us your
question.
Relationship questions. Yeah. And of course, we are a relationship talk from a liberty perspective. We like good communication and getting along with your neighbors in a voluntary society. And that's kind of what we talk about on this show. We think relationships are very important.
Yes. So what are we talking about this show?
We wanted to discuss tonight something that kind of comes up a lot. Often it'll happen in the Liberty Movement here in New Hampshire, which is kind of a close-knit community, I guess. You know, there are a lot of people who socialize together.
Yeah.
There are big parties that happen.
Actually,
there are festivals sometimes.
There's a lot of... it's like an amorphous thing. I mean, the Liberty... Yeah, the Liberty community isn't, you know, 1,000 people who hang out. It's a whole bunch of little groups within that 1,000 that hang out with each other and a lot of intermixing. So, anyway, go on.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. People are hanging out, and a lot of people at least know of each other, right?
Right.
If they don't know each other,
yep.
And you know, news kind of travels fast. I don't want to say gossip, but you know, news.
Gossip travels fast too here.
Yeah. There's kind of a wealth of information out there, and every so often it happens that somebody gets sick. They have some kind of pathogen that it causes unpleasant symptoms, and somehow or another, during these gatherings or maybe roommate situations or whatever, it'll get spread to other people, or it'll be threatened to be spread to other people, feel threatened to of contracting whatever it is.
Right.
And so the question often comes up are of, are germs aggression. And kind of what's your responsibility for taking precautions to make sure that you're not a Typhoid Mary, that you don't infect a bunch of people with whatever you have, for letting people know when you do come down with something? And what's their responsibility when they hear, you know, hey, they may have been exposed to something. What do they do?
Well, what do I think? First of all, if this is a common topic, I've never heard of it. I've never heard anyone ask the question, you know, are genes aggressive? Or, are germs aggressive?
When the button pops off and it hits someone in the eye.
But I guess it would have to do with intent, right? And awareness. Because let's say I have a rash and I'm not medically inclined. I'm presuming that some kind of transferable, you know, disease can cause a rash, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, let's say I have a rash and I think it's a heat rash or, you know, some friction rash or something that's just nothing and couldn't be, it's not contagious and it's just me and it couldn't mean anything. Mm-hmm. It couldn't hurt anybody else. And so I go to a party. And yet, without my knowledge, it was contagious and other people get it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's aggression. It was my fault. It's my, I guess I initiated, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know. Right. So there was no bad intent. But I guess it could be argued that I should have known. I should have researched my own little body and illness and mm-hmm. known that I might be able to infect other people.
Mm-hmm.
And in that case, ignorance is what? Not...
Is there's no excuse.
No excuse for the ignorance.
Ignorance of the disease is no excuse.
But there's 10 million diseases. How can I know them all?
Right. And that's true because, you know, the internet is really making this a lot better for everyone. Like, really, there's so much knowledge at your fingertips. But some people are doctors. Very few people are doctors or medical, you know, personnel or whatever, or maybe have experience with kind of diagnosing things. But most people don't, you know, most people don't really... know what's up unless they bother to do some research about it. And sometimes, you know, you can find misinformation on the internet, right? Like, let's say, Mike, you have a rash and it's not itchy. It's just like red bumps or something.
Yeah.
And you go on oh my God, I wonder what this is. And you go on the internet and you look it up and you say, oh my God, I have herpes and chicken pox and, you know,
52 other diseases
and everything else under the sun. And I also have skin cancer and, you know,
and I'm an alien
and you're an alien and you were abducted and given a probe when you were sleeping and, you know, the list goes on and on. So it's kind of like, there is sort of a problem of information there too.
Uh-huh.
I think that plays a role in this, you know, 'cause sometimes it's like, well, who do you believe when someone's telling you, oh, you have a disease and it might be contagious, right?
Yeah, and that's actually a huge problem because there's also, I don't even know how to phrase this, but, you know, there's people who will research it or on the internet or read the friends or whatever, and they have beliefs that are not scientific.
Mm-hmm.
And that can lead to problems, right? They'll see their rash. Well, I would say kooky, but, you know, it's as long as it doesn't affect me, who cares? And yet this might affect me,
mm-hmm.
right? If I'm hanging out at a party with someone, a friend or an acquaintance, and they have some kind of rash or these red bumps on their arms or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and they've, you know, in their opinion, the best thing for it is to drink lots of green tea and to, you know, to I don't know what, you know, beliefs there are in the world. Maybe they, you know, to pray to the sun god and dance in circles while singing or something. I don't know. What you know, drink lots of salt water, whatever.
Right.
The peanut gallery, in case you didn't hear the peanut gallery, they said maybe they think that having a coffee colonic will
cure their...
Yeah. And that's, as silly as that is, someone believes it.
Oh, a lot of people believe it,
right.
Yeah.
And so here we have a person who actually... wants, they have good intent,
mm-hmm.
but they don't have good follow-through, because if they get a coffee enema, it's not going to stop them from being contagious.
It's not going to cure their chicken pox.
Right,
you know.
And they think, okay, well, I've done everything I've done my due diligence. I've done what it takes. Now I can go to a party. Meanwhile, they're infecting me because their research or their beliefs are bad or whatever.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, that's kind of the
aggression?
Question of, like, see, when you said intent matters, like, there's obviously a difference between somebody who knows that they have the flu and coughs all over your, you know, slobbers all over your toothbrush or whatever, and deliberately tries to infect you, and the difference between someone who doesn't know that they have the flu, just feels a little under the weather, comes over to your house, maybe drinks a glass of water or sneezes in your house or something, and then you come down with it. There's a difference between those things.
Right.
But there's also the problem of determining intent, because sometimes you really, you can't know, right? Like, you can't know if somebody tried to research their condition on the internet right. and then found out some wrong information or
you
whatever.
Could, if you're friendly with someone, you could ask. You'd say, hey, man, you were, you know, after this party, I got sick and I noticed you were coughing. Do you have a flu or do you have a cold?
Mm-hmm.
And just ask them if they knew about it. You know, you're not going to be the Inquisition. You're just, right? You're just going to say, hey, did you know you have a cold and why'd you come over? Or did you take some antibiotics first? Or I don't even know what you take for a cold. Nothing really for a cold.
Nothing, yeah.
But
maybe cover your mouth right. or something. Or
and actually, I want to talk about covering your mouth because then there's levels of knowledge too, right? Because I'm not medical, and right. I would think that the flu or a cold can be transmitted via the air, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And if I cough and cover my mouth with my hand, which I won't do while talking into this microphone.
They want to hear you.
Right. It seems to me that the germs in the spittle or whatever that's coming out, the
yes,
mucus,
very
which is traveling like 100 miles an hour, right? When you sneeze or when you cough?
Not quite that fast, but
really
pretty
fast. It would seem to me that if I covered my mouth with my hand, it's going to escape through the cracks and around my hand, and it's going to be in the room anyways. Is that really helping? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I think if you sneeze into the crook of your arm or into your shirt or something, then it probably catches most of it, but I'm sure it doesn't catch all of it, you know? At least you're making an effort, but sure, it's not 100%.
Okay.
And then, you know, something that, to get back to something that you brought up earlier, Mike, you said you would maybe, if you got a cold or a flu and you knew another friend had been sick, you would say to them, hey man, are you sick? You know, how come you came over when you're sick or something
right.
like that? There are some people who have different, like, preferences about whether they want to be around you when you're sick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like for instance, there are some workplaces where they really want you to show up to work no matter what, and they value that. Like they really want you to always be there and be
doing
reliably
your okay.
doing your job. There are some other workplaces where they're like, no, man. You know, if you feel the slightest sniffle, stay home. We don't want to infect everybody else in the workplace, right? And so, you kind of have to. Take into account the people that you might be exposing if you're sick, you know, and see what their preference is, because maybe they're like, well, I'll take my chances, or they don't mind if they got a little cold. They're like, well,
right.
I'm not afraid of it, you know,
and unless you're
or
doing,
maybe they are afraid of it.
Unless you're doing an incredibly limited amount of interpersonal interaction that day, you really have no idea who you're going to interact with because...
Oh, it could be hundreds of people.
It could be thousands.
It could be thousands, yeah.
What if you just get on a bus or you're getting on an airplane
oh,
and you
right.
have a cough or...
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what I'm saying. I'm not saying that if you have a cough, it's your responsibility not to be in the public.
Mm-hmm.
But,
well, no, but literally look at the name Typhoid Mary, which we mentioned before. You know, this was a historical example of a woman who infected thousands of people with typhoid, and it was all linked back to her, and I believe it was through, like, she was some kind of in food preparation, and I believe it was
okay.
through that, or she somehow got it into the water supply
right.
or something like that. So I actually don't remember what it was. We'll have to look that up, but the point is that you kind of never really know who you're exposing and what their preferences
mm-hmm.
might be, so it kind of makes sense to err on the side of caution, I think, in that instance.
Well, yeah.
But then
here's this, though. Let's say you've got a good friend who is, you know, across town or whatever, and they're really sick, and you want to help them out. You go over and talk them into bed and make them soup or whatever, and you know that you might get sick, but it's worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you could potentially be exposing people
right.
in your life. Yeah.
Right.
So it's kind of like round and round it goes.
What do you do?
Where does it end? Yeah. Yeah, no, Mike, you bring up a really good point. And in that case, I would probably want to help my friend. If my friend had SARS and it was really highly transmissible and there was a really high risk, if my friend had Ebola virus, I would probably want to ask them
quick too.
I would ask them to call me on Skype.
you could video them on Skype and say, look behind you in the cabinet. I'm sure the soup's over there somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. But
you know how to make soup, right? Okay, click.
But, you know, I mean...
Ebola.
It kind of depends on the disease, too, and then it gets back to a problem of knowledge. It's like, how are things transmitted, and how are things not?
Yep.
You know, can I bring up another point, Mike?
I bet you can.
Yes, I bet. I bet I can, too. But I want to bring up a real-life situation.
Uh-huh.
So there was one time, occasionally, I'm a co-host on Free Talk Live.
Uh-huh.
So there was one time, and I also have my own, well, not really my own. It's still Free Talk Live, but it's a all... ladies co-host Sunday edition of Free Talk Live.
Uh-huh.
which we call She Talk Live. So that's once a month on the Sunday. But, you know, occasionally I've done it during the week too. And there was one time where I went down on a Sunday night and I did my She Talk Live, co-hosted with the ladies, had a great time. And the next day I woke up, I felt fine when I was down there in the studio. The next day I woke up and I felt horrible. I was, I was sick. I lost my voice. I couldn't talk. And I was coughing, and it was clearly like a respiratory thing.
Okay.
And so immediately I panicked, and I thought of Ian. And I was like,
oh
my gosh, Ian works with his voice. Like, that's what he does. If he loses his voice, that's going to suck. And I hope he doesn't get my cold. And I was breathing all over his microphone, and like my germs are probably all over his place. And you know, I didn't want to sound too like OCD about it, but I was concerned, you know, especially since that's his livelihood. So I wrote him an email, and I said, hey, you know, I had no idea. I felt fine yesterday, but today I woke up and I was really sick. I hope you don't get it. Please stay healthy. Mm-hmm. And he wrote back and was basically, you know,
That's how I'd be.
Yeah, he basically didn't really care that much.
Yeah,
but,
I mean,
so
it's like, thanks for telling me, but I'm probably not going to get sick.
Yeah, and I think he didn't get sick. So that was great, but it was like, I felt kind of a sense of obligation, I guess, because I knew it would be really bad if he got it. You know, I would feel bad, you know, I would feel like unintentionally I did something that hurt someone else, and I would want to make good on that.
Well, if we're talking about a free society, which doesn't exist, and what and what people should do, I think there's strong arguments for either side of either position, right? So if you're the person who's sick, there's probably strong arguments that you should go out of your way not to infect people, and that you shouldn't bother in some situations. And if you're the people on the receiving and you're not sick and you know someone who is, there's probably good arguments for wanting them to stay away, and then other arguments for wanting to go there and help them and risk infection, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Or just to get your work done or get something done that normally happens.
Because you have to be in the same place as them, perhaps. Right. So I don't know if there is a moral should or should not. But I think there is a polite. And I get along with your neighbors and, you know, kind of golden rule-ish.
Yeah, go ahead.
Matt. I was just going to, and that is, you know, inform people. Let them know that, you know, I might be sick, I might be contagious, I'm singing a song and praying to my God, so you're not going to get it, but I'm just letting you know. Whatever the case may be.
And, you know, you can offer to take some kind of precautions. Like, if you have a respiratory cold, you can offer to cover, you know, put a bandana around your mouth or sneeze into your shirt or whatever. Or if you have a skin thing, you can offer not to share towels with them or not to sleep in their bed or whatever.
Right.
You know?
To at least make
really
an effort to inform
too many
people,
friends
let alone
that
to
I share my towels with. But,
but you know, suppose you were camping with a group of friends.
Oh, sure, yeah. It comes up. I mean, these are not totally unrealistic scenarios.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think if I was camping with a bunch of friends and either during or right before the event, one of them told me they got sick and, you know, a rash that might be contagious by touch, then I would not, you know, I'd take precautions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess.
I think I would kind of take precautions too, but sometimes it's like, no, well, I don't care if I get that, you know.
That's a good point.
For instance, there have been situations where my partner, romantic partner, had a cold and was we can decide not to kiss until I feel better. And I was like, no, I don't want to not kiss you because you have a cold. You know, I don't care. I'll take that risk.
Right.
I ain't scared.
I ain't scared of no cold.
You know. This is a great song. Who are you going to call? Pork busters. You said cold. I said pork.
Yeah. Cold porkers. No.
Pork busters. Yeah. Call us 419-PT-LOVE-4 to eradicate your colds. Anyway.
We're ready to believe you.
Sorry, Mike.
So, I said I will take the necessary precautions, I should have said I will act accordingly. Because maybe I'll take precautions and maybe I won't care and I'll go camping anyway.
So, yeah, I think that's kind of the guiding principle that I go to on this type of situation is, like, I try to at least make an effort to show some level of concern or caring about the other person's health and not wanting them to get sick.
Uh-huh.
You know, and just to, if I know that I have something, I'll communicate about it.
Right.
You know?
Right. So, and I think that's
probably all you can do.
Healthiest thing you can do, pardon the pun.
Oh, what a good way to end out the show. Just one little side note, actually, the initial question was something about our germs aggression.
Right.
And I used to live in a town was named after this guy, Amherst, Massachusetts, or Amherst, as the locals say. It was named after this guy, the Lord Jeffrey Amherst.
Yeah,
it's so pompous and pretentious. And this guy was a jerk. I mean, he was a bioterrorist.
Yeah,
the first bioterrorist. Yeah, he used to take smallpox infested blankets from like the European colonialists or settlers or whatever, and would fling them with bodies that were wrapped in them, you know, smallpox infested bodies, into the Indian villages, and then go take their stuff. So I think you can look him up on Wikipedia if you want to read more about that. But it was just that. Okay, that does seem like actual germ aggression. That's actual aggression. But, you know, if you have a...
That's germ warfare, literally.
If you have a little sniffle, or if you have a rash and you don't really know about it, and you go to a party and it's an honest mistake, well, I don't think
now, what that's if aggression. What if you have a cold or flu and you're coughing and you know it and you don't like someone and you specifically say, hey, I wanted to give you your car key back or, you know, whatever, and specifically make a point to go over and be in their presence when you're coughing? That's kind of a very minor form of aggression.
Let them know.
No, that's what I'm saying. If you're doing
you do it because you want them to get
sick. Spirited, yeah. That's kind of aggressive.
That's crappy. I don't like it. Yeah.
All right, so on that note...
Yeah, right. Okay, anyway, so we're going to say goodbye.
Yeah.
Thank you. You can email us at questions@porktherapy.com.
Or call us at 419-PT-LOVE-4.
But make sure your email doesn't contain any viruses.
Ba-dum-tsh.
Oh, that was bad. Anyway, we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye. They're two crazy porks who host a show. They give relationship advice that you ought to know. Your thirst for entertainment, they will quench, 'cause Stephanie's a darling and Mike is a mensch. Pork therapy, advice this good is a rarity. It's cool, fun, and introspective. Relationship talk from a liberty perspective. Oh, and did I mention you can leave a message, you can voice a question, a joke, a comment, or something more at 419-PT-LOVE-4.